Good morning, everyone. Thanks for joining us here once again for Sunday School as we look through the book of Jeremiah. This is Jeremiah chapter 28 in your Bibles, and let me pray for us as we get started. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the privilege and opportunity we have to be together this morning, wherever we are, and to look into your word. We ask that you would use it to speak to us, God, that we would see clearly your truth. And that truth would bring us life. And we pray, Lord Jesus, in your name. Amen. So let's start by reading Jeremiah chapter 28. Hananiah the false prophet. And that same year, at the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah, king of Judah, in the fifth month of the fourth year, Hananiah the son of Azor, the prophet from Gibeon, spoke to me in the house of the Lord, in the presence of the priests and all the people, saying, Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, I have broken the yoke of the king of Babylon. Within 2 years, I will bring back to this place all the vessels of the Lord's house, which Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, took away from this place and carried to Babylon. I will also bring back to this place Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, and all the exiles from Judah who went to Babylon, declares the Lord, for I will break the yoke of the king of Babylon. Then the prophet Jeremiah spoke to Hananiah the prophet in the presence of the priests and all the people who were standing in the house of the Lord. And the prophet Jeremiah said, Amen. May the Lord do so. May the Lord make the words that you have prophesied come true and bring back to this place from Babylon the vessels of the house of the Lord and all the exiles. Yet, hear now this word that I speak in your hearing and in the hearing of all the people. The prophets who preceded you and me from ancient times prophesied war, famine, and pestilence against many countries and great kingdoms. As for the prophet who prophesies peace, when the word of that prophet comes to pass, then it will be known that the Lord has truly sent the prophet. Then the prophet Hananiah took the yoke bars from the neck of Jeremiah the prophet and broke them. And Hananiah spoke in the presence of all the people, saying, Thus says the Lord, even so will I break the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, from the neck of all the nations within 2 years. But Jeremiah the prophet went his way. Sometime after the prophet Hananiah had broken the yoke bars from off the neck of Jeremiah the prophet, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. Go tell Hananiah, thus says the Lord, you have broken wooden bars, but you have made in their place bars of iron. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, I have put upon the neck of all these nations an iron yoke to serve the Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and they shall serve him. For I have given to him even the beast of the field. And Jeremiah the prophet said to the prophet Hananiah, Listen, Hananiah, the Lord has not sent to you, and you have made this people trust in a lie. Therefore, thus says the Lord, Behold, I will remove you from the face of the earth. This year you shall die, because you have uttered rebellion against the Lord. And that same year, in the seventh month, the prophet Hananiah died. Now, just a little background here. Chapter 27 of Jeremiah, we see the emergence of this yoke, where God has Jeremiah take a wooden yoke upon himself and go and proclaim to Israel, to the house of Judah, right, the king of Judah, who was Zedekiah, and tell him, look, Nebuchadnezzar is going to come with the yoke, and you should willingly submit to him. Put this yoke upon yourself, because when you do so, you're going to live. Now, he's going to come, and he will inhabit your land and all these things, but you'll still be able to live here. You'll stay in your place, and he'll allow you to live as long as you submit to him, for this is what God is doing to judge this nation and judge the world through King Nebuchadnezzar. Don't resist him. Don't put up a fight. Submit to him, because if you resist, bad things are going to happen. And that's Jeremiah's word to Zedekiah. And that's not a popular word, you might imagine, right? And Jeremiah even had told them, look, there's going to be people that come behind me. These prophets are going to be false prophets who are going to tell you something else. They're going to say, don't listen. You're not going to have to serve the king of Babylon. This is just something that Jeremiah is making up. Don't listen to that guy. Remember, Jeremiah is prophesying doom and gloom. He's got this hard life, a hard ministry. He's giving hard words to the people of God. You know, the Lord is giving him these messages of destruction and punishment, and there's not a whole lot of happiness coming from Jeremiah. He's known as the weeping prophet for a reason, and the Lord actually causes him to weep over his people. So he had warned about false prophets, and now the next chapter, that same year that he has been wearing now this wooden yoke to tell the people, this is what is going to happen and this is what we must do, a false prophet emerges. This man is named Hananiah. He's the son of Azor. He's a prophet from Gibeon. That's really all that we know about him. And he comes also to the house of the Lord, and he comes and speaks to Jeremiah and to everyone in the name of the Lord. He says, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel. He doesn't come and say, hey guys, I've got a different feeling, or I'm not quite so sure, or you know what, I've been thinking about this. And so he comes in the name of the Lord and declares boldly that God has broken this wooden yoke from that is Nebuchadnezzar, and that within 2 years, everyone's going to come back, right? Within 2 years, all the vessels are going to be brought back to the temple. He's going to reinstate Jeconiah, and he's also going to return all the exiles. This is a great message. You know, the people love to hear this. Even Jeremiah, we see his response, this sort of tongue-in-cheek response. He says, amen, right? Hey, that would be awesome, wouldn't it? You know, it'd be like if I asked you, hey, would you like me to write you a check for $1 million? And you would go, yes, absolutely. So I would love it too if I could be able to do that, right? You know, hey, wouldn't it be great if God changed his mind? Wouldn't it be good if these things didn't happen that I prophesied? I wish that it would. This is Jeremiah's tongue-in-cheek response. I wish that would happen. But you know what? Let's pause for a moment. Hear now the word I'm speaking to you and in front of all the people. He says, look, the prophets who preceded you and from ancient times, they prophesied three things: war, famine, pestilence, not only against our nation, but against other countries and the great kingdoms of the world. That's what they prophesied. So here you are coming and prophesying something different, and there's a test for prophecy. And the test for prophecy is time. In verse 6, he says, hey, if you prophesy peace, when that word comes to pass, then we'll know that God has truly sent you, right? When peace comes, just as you have prophesied, then we'll know that you're truly a prophet of God. And instead of Hananiah simply saying, you know what, let's come back in 2 years and see who is right, what does he do? He grabs the wooden yoke off of Jeremiah's neck and breaks it, we can imagine, over his knee. It says, look, emphatically, this is what God's doing. This is God's word. And how does Jeremiah respond? Well, he simply walks away. He goes his way. Now, there is a test, as we said, for prophets, and that test is the test of time. Does what the prophet declare come to pass? Now, it's not as if Hananiah was prophesying one day, someday in the future, there's going to be peace. That would be a little different, wouldn't it? He's saying 2 years. He gives himself a timeline, a time frame. And again, there's a simple test, right? If these words are true, then Hananiah is a true prophet of God. But if these words are false, it's not as if he gets another chance. You know, God operates with prophets, as he calls his people to judge prophets, with a one strike and you're out policy, right? They get one chance. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 20 through 22. This is litmus test for prophets. But the prophet who presumes to speak a word in my name that I have not commanded him to speak, or who speaks in the name of other gods, that same prophet shall die. And if you say in your heart, how may we know the word that the Lord has not spoken? Well, when a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the word does not come to pass or come true, that is a word the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously. You need not be afraid of him. Right? And now we might think, well, Hananiah is not saying something that we would be afraid of. Well, he's not sharing a message of doom and gloom. That actually would be Jeremiah. But we don't even need to listen to him. We don't need to be concerned about the things that he is saying because he is not a prophet from the Lord. Now, why is it that a prophet would come and say something falsely, whether in the name of God or in the name of other gods? Well, we turn to Micah chapter 3, verses 9 through 11 for that. We read, "Hear this, you heads of the house of Jacob, and rulers of the house of Israel who detest justice and make crooked all that is straight, who build Zion with blood and Jerusalem with iniquity. Its heads give judgment for a bribe. Its priests teach for a price. Its prophets practice divination for money. Yet they lean on the Lord and say, 'Is not the Lord in the midst of us? No disaster shall come upon us.'" See, these prophets were teaching for a price. The heads were giving judgment. The rulers were judging partially, not impartially. The priests were teaching for a price. They were giving the people what they wanted to hear. The judges were giving people what they wanted to have judged. The prophets were giving people words from the Lord in exchange for money. Right, and yet, what was it that the house of Israel detested justice? They built Zion with blood and Jerusalem with iniquity. That God's people were corrupt. They were living unjustly in blatant sin. And they were having these teachers, these people telling them, "Hey, what you're doing is okay." Right? Yes, the rich should rule over the poor. That's no problem. You're always right. If you have the capital, if you have the means, then there's a way. You know, you should enjoy this life just as it is, and God wouldn't ask you to do anything different because he's in the midst of us, right? If we were doing something wrong, then we wouldn't be enjoying prosperity. Right? You think about it, and that it sounds great. Right? No disaster is going to come upon us because if what we were doing was wrong, God wouldn't have even allowed this to happen. But it's this confirmation bias. You know, we see it in our own day and age. We see it in pretty much everything. Right? If we don't like the news that we read or the opinions that we see, what do? We just go find another opinion or we find another angle that more corresponds with what we already think. I see it in sports. You know, growing up in Pittsburgh, the Steelers were on the radio, and they had this great local broadcast team, a very Pittsburgh-esque team, and the radio station would advertise, "Hey, when you're watching the game on television, turn the sound down on the TV and turn on the radio instead. You know, listen to the game called through these black and gold Pittsburgh glasses, right? You're not going to hear anything impartial there. You're going to hear this called in favor of the team, and they're not going to they're not going to take it easy on the referees, and they're going to tell you everything great that you want to hear, even if somehow the team loses." Right? So we see it in our sportscasters, we see it in our politics, we sort of see it everywhere. You know, if I don't like what this preacher says, if I don't like what God's word says, well let me turn to a different passage. And let me find someone else who's going to give me a different spin or a different take on this. And I'm pretty sure that I know what this says, and I don't like that. So let me search for an alternative interpretation. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3, Paul is warning Timothy. He says, "The time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions." Now, what's the danger in listening to someone who claims to come from God but doesn't? What's happening is that they're going to encourage us not to follow God. The test of the false prophet is what they say come to pass. And we see Jeremiah finally, he walks away, but God actually speaks to him again and says, hey, he broke those wooden bars, but in their place there's going to be bars of iron, right? The yoke of Nebuchadnezzar isn't going to be something that you can break easily, and it's going to be on all the nations, all of the beasts of the field. Everyone's going to serve him. Right, and they're not going to have the chance to voluntarily serve him, but they will do so. And Hananiah, whatever you thought, which it's pretty clear that he didn't believe, he is lying. Okay, does he know that he's lying, or does he not know? It doesn't really matter. Jeremiah says, Hananiah, the Lord has not sent you. You have made this people trust in a lie. Therefore, he's going to remove you from the face of the earth. And this year you shall die because you've uttered rebellion against the Lord. What did he do? We might think, oh, this is just an innocent message of hope and peace and love for the people. No, God said that you've led the people astray. They've bought into this lie that what they're doing is okay, that God is sanctioning their sin, and yet what he's done is incurred encouraged people to sin even more, to become even more bold in their rebellion, and they have continued to live in rebellion against God, and because you've done that, you're going to be removed. Remember, what was his prophecy? Well, his prophecy was within 2 years, Nebuchadnezzar's yoke is going to be broken, everyone's going to be restored and brought back, and God says, actually, well, within 1 year, you're going to die. And then we see that it wasn't even 2 years, it was only 2 months later from the beginning of that prophecy, that same year in the seventh month. Remember, he came in the fifth month that Hananiah died. What is this telling us, and why does this matter to us today? Well, first and foremost is that we need to be very careful who we listen to, right? And we need to be especially careful of those people who claim to have a word or message from the Lord. One of the ways to test that is through time. Does it come to pass? Does it not come to pass? The other great way to test is, does it conform or align with God's word? And this doesn't even have to just come from someone else outside of us. Oftentimes we may feel, man, God is really wanting me to do this, or I just know that God is telling me to do so and so. Well, that may be so, that may be true, but there's a test to that, and the test is that God will never ask us or tell us to do something that goes against what he's already given to us in his word. Does it align with scripture? And if it doesn't, that's a clear sign that what I'm claiming is the prophetic utterance of God, or the voice of God, is really just my own personal desire. It's my own selfishness. It's my own wants. It's my own nature saying this to me. And we can be deceived ourselves, just like we can be deceived by others. If we're not careful, if we're not discerning, we allow these other voices just to essentially put us in these echo chambers where the only things we listen to are the people that agree with this already. And yet, an honest reading of God's word is going to show us that we're going to find things that we don't agree with. We're going to find things in God's word that speak into our lives, and they're not always affirming of the way that we're currently living. But Scripture is given to us to reprove us and to correct us. It shows us our sin. It shows us who we are. You know, it's the mirror that we can look into that God has graciously given to us so that we can live our lives in accordance with what He wants for us, and not just what we want for ourselves. So how do we know what is the Word of God? How do we know what God wants for us? We find it here. And we find it here in His Word. He's called us to follow Him. He's called us to obey Him. He's called us to listen to Him and to look for Him here. Right, not to look for Him out in the world. And we've seen all sorts of crazy false predictions from presidential elections to the end times to the end of coronavirus and all these different things that people have uttered and have not happened. What happens when a prophecy doesn't come true? Well, that's a sign. What's that a sign of? Well, that's a sign that that's a false prophet. Someone who is speaking a lie. That's not someone that we need to give credence to. That's not something that we have to fear. That's not something that we should give any authority over us. Our authority is right here in God's Word. May we allow it to speak to us. May we allow it to correct us as opposed to us trying to correct it. Well, thanks so much for joining us this morning. And spend some time in God's Word today. Read and reread this. Allow God's truth to penetrate into your heart that we might live in accordance with what He would have for us. We'll see you next time. Thanks.